Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry that focuses on God's unconditional love and grace. And now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Thursday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. Today, I'm continuing a series that I've entitled, How to Receive God's Best. This is a brand new teaching that I've got, and tomorrow is going to be my last day to offer this teaching over our television broadcast. There's been five teachings in this new CD set. We're on the fifth teaching now, which is entitled, God's Word Equals God's Blessing. And there's just no way I can go back and summarize everything I've said. But I tell you, this is powerful stuff. These are things that are foundational truths that have really made a difference in my life. And I really encourage you to get the materials. Remember, tomorrow is our last day to make the fifth teaching entitled God's Word Equals God's Blessing available as a gift. And it will also be our last day to offer the album entitled How to Receive God's Best for a donation of any amount. So you need to call or write today, or at the very least, tomorrow. Now, I've been on this teaching. It's entitled God's Word Equals God's Blessing. Every word that is in the Bible was spoken by God to some person in their heart. And then they wrote down what God said to them. So these words in the Bible have the same creative power as when God said, let there be light. When God said, let the earth bring forth, let the creature come, and let us make man in our image. God spoke the worlds into existence. His word has creative power. And all of these words are breathed by God. They are God's words. So all we have to do to take this creative, life-giving power that is in God's word and make it a reality in our life is to mix it with faith. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 2 says, the word preached unto them did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. You've got to mix this with faith and then speak it out of your mouth. Romans chapter 10, verse 10 says, for with the heart man believes, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. You got to believe it in your heart, but then you got to speak it out of your mouth. So God originally spoke all of these blessings over us. We have to believe it and then go to speaking these same blessings over our life in faith. And when we do, that releases the power of God. Well, that's a mouthful. What I just said right there, there's a lot of people that don't understand that. But that is really, really powerful. And so I've been going through a lot of different things. The last couple of days, I used Isaiah chapter 54 to talk about how that when we have failed in an area in the past, now through Jesus, a blessing is spoken over us that we are going to be more fruitful than we've ever been. We need to enlarge, begin to start thinking bigger. We need to get ready for increase and expansion. All of these are positive blessings, and the world is doing everything they can to keep your hopes down. You know, it amazes me when people go into a doctor, and I understand why this happened, because doctors are sued so often, their liability insurance is so high that they've got to cover their own selves, and so they will give you the worst case scenario. And you will hear them often say things like, well, we don't want to get your hopes up. But that's the very thing that you need. You need your hopes up. You need to start believing. But our whole world system is just somehow or another thinks that it is their God-given duty to present the worst case scenario, to tell you how many hurricanes there's going to be this season, and they miss it 9 out of 10 times, and yet they will prophesy and speak the worst case scenario, cause your insurance rates to go up. They will speak the worst case scenario for the flu, trying to instill fear into everybody, and they just speak these negative things over and over and over. Well, the Bible speaks the opposite. It has blessings. God's word equals God's blessing. These are God's blessings, and I've been speaking these things over us. In Isaiah chapter 54, in verses 9 and 10, it says God made an unconditional covenant with us that He would never be angry with us nor rebuke us. The hills and the mountains will depart before God's covenant of peace will leave us. Boy, those are powerful things. That's what I talked about yesterday. Let me drop on down to the last verse in Isaiah chapter 54 and verse 17. It says, "No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment, thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord." Boy, there's a lot in these verses. Again, I know that I've got people watching this program that haven't been through this entire series, and you may be missing some of this, but every word that comes out of people's mouth is either a blessing or a curse. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 21 says, "Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof." It didn't say death and life and just a whole bunch of words that don't matter about anything. As a matter of fact, Jesus said in Matthew chapter 12, "Every idle word shall men give an account thereof in the day of judgment. For by your words you shall be justified, and by your words you shall be condemned." Jesus said that you're going to have to answer for every idle word. So contrary to people's opinion that just a lot of words don't matter, every word that you speak matters, and every word that you hear matters. You are either hearing positive things spoken in line with God's word that release the blessing and the power of God in your life, or you are hearing words that counter what God says. And there is no middle ground. There are no idle words, non-productive words that don't matter, and so therefore you can just listen to them and it doesn't matter. Every word is either life or death. I know that there's a lot of people think, well, I just don't believe that. I can listen to all kinds of things and it does not affect me. Let me read this verse to you out of 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And in verse 33, it says, "Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners." Those of you who think that you can listen to people speak negative and it doesn't affect you, you're strong enough and words just don't have any effect on you. According to this verse, you are deceived. Evil communication corrupts good manners. You hear something often enough and spoken by enough people, and it goes to effect in the way you believe. Death and life, not death and life and other things are in the power of the tongue. Just death or life. Every word is either ministering life or death. The reason I bring all that up is to say that in Isaiah 54:17, it says, "No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper, and every tongue that rises against you." I believe that there's a link here. You know weapons that come against you? People think, well, a sword or a bullet or a bomb or something like that. Sure, those are weapons, but you know what the greatest weapon of all is, the strongest weapon of all? And that's the tongue, the words that you speak. James wrote about this in James chapter 3. He says, "If any man can bridle his tongue, the same is a perfect man and able to bridle the entire body." He says the tongue is an unruly evil. No man can tame it on his own. It takes the supernatural power of God. Again, I'm aware that this is counter to our culture, and there are many people just rejecting this and saying, "Boy, you're making a big deal out of this." The Bible makes a big deal out of words, and it's saying that when weapons come against you, they won't prosper, and every tongue, because your tongue, the tongue of other people, the negative things that are spoken, these are weapons against you. And I want you to get this concept that every word that comes your way, every word that comes out of your mouth and every word that comes towards you is either a blessing, speaking the goodness of God and the favor of God, or it's a curse. You know, when we use the word curse, most people think of some kind of witchcraft, taking a doll and sticking pins in it and going through some incantation. Well, that is a curse. And those things do exist, and they do. That is real. But it is also a curse when somebody criticizes you and speaks things over you like, "You're a failure. You're no good. I hate you. You are ugly. You're fat. You're," you know, all of these things. They're negative things spoken against you, and Satan uses those negative words to release death into you. Words can just literally crush you. You know, we had this little saying when I was a kid, "Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words can never hurt me." That is exactly opposite. You can recover from a stick and a stone. You can overcome the bruise that causes. But the negative words that people say about you, the harsh things that they say, the things that the devil says, the things that you say about yourself, those things can destroy you quicker than a weapon can. And so here's my point, bringing all of this up. Words are weapons. And it says here that every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment, thou shalt condemn. This is a powerful truth. If what I've said is true, which it is, that death and life is in the power of the tongue, every idle word man have to give an account of. You're deceived if you think you can listen to negative words and it doesn't affect you. And so if all those things are true, and if people are constantly speaking negative things and cursing our finances and talking about the recession and saying that you cannot prosper and on, all these kind of things, if those things are true, which they are, then how do you deal with these negative things that people have said about you? How do you deal with the negative things that the news is saying about our economy and about the state of the world and all of these things that are contrary? How do you deal with all of these stuff? It seems like that there's 100 times as much negative things being spoken as positive things. How do you keep all of these curses from impacting you and having an effect on you? It tells you right here, every tongue that shall rise against you in judgment, you shall condemn. That means you have to judge it. You have to reveal it for what it is and say, that is not the truth. This is not what I'm accepting. This is not going to work for me. You have to condemn it. You have to reject it. You have to cancel it. I don't know how many of you watched some of the healing journey testimonies that we played on our programs back in the month of January. But when we played, though, there was a couple of them. I can think of Alan and Debbie Moore, who he had a stroke and it killed 1/3 of his brain. And on the MRI, it shows his brain. 1/3 of his brain is dead. According to the doctors, he shouldn't be alive. If he was alive, he couldn't swallow. He couldn't walk. He couldn't talk. He couldn't do any of this. And yet he's totally normal. But the reason that happened is because when they came out with this tongue, these words that begin to speak things over him that were contrary to God's word, that's a curse. I know many of you are thinking, well, all they were doing was just saying the natural things. Well, the natural things can be a curse if it's contrary to what God has promised to you. I'm not saying that the people who said it were bad people. I'm not saying that they were witches or demons. But I'm saying that any word that comes out against you, you have to condemn it. And this is exactly what Alan and Debbie did. Debbie especially just began to say, I reject that. And she thanked the doctors and she says, I know you're doing your job and you do the best you can, but I'm telling you that my husband will not be invalid. My husband will not be on some kind of a feeding tube the rest of his life. He is not going to die. And she rejected and countered all of those words. That's exactly what this verse is talking about. When somebody speaks something to you that is contrary to what the Word of God, the blessing that God's Word has spoken over you, you've got to reject it. You've got to counter it, condemn it. You know, here's another way of looking at this. If you could understand that every word that comes out of your mouth and also every word that goes out of any person's mouth, it's like spitting seeds. It's either going to be a positive seed that produces life and releases the power of God, or it's going to be a negative seed that starts producing death, doubt, unbelief, and fear, etc. If you could look at every word that comes out of a person's mouth being either a seed, a positive seed, or a negative seed, well, then this would help you to understand that when somebody speaks something over you that is contrary to what God has said, to what you're believing for, contrary to the blessing, well, then that's a curse. Doesn't mean that the person is a bad person. Doesn't mean that they intended it. But nonetheless, it's contrary to the blessing of God. And you have to condemn it. If you will stand against it right that moment, when somebody says something, when they say, boy, you look sick. You look like you're going to be in bed for 2 weeks. And yet here you are believing God for healing, and you've been speaking the blessing of God that by the stripes of Jesus I'm healed. The moment somebody speaks something contrary over you, you just deal with it right then and reject it and say, no, in the name of Jesus, that is not true. And you reinforce the blessing and you speak the blessing and believe it. If you deal with it like that, then you know what? It never takes root. It's just over. And you don't have to deal with those negative things. But if you're afraid of what people might say and you don't want to upset anybody, and so because of that, you allow people to speak negative things over you, then those seeds are going to start taking root. And it doesn't take long. And they start sprouting. I found that if somebody says something to me and for whatever reason, I just don't want to counter it. I don't want to offend them. I don't want them to think I'm weird or whatever. And if I don't counter it right then, I'll have to get by myself and it might take me 30 minutes worth of praying or Bible study or maybe an hour or two depending on who said it and what was said. And it may take me hours to get that thing rooted out of me and get back to where I'm standing in faith. But I found that the moment somebody counters me and speaks something negative over me, I just counter it right then and say, no, in the name of Jesus. That's over. You know what? I don't even have to deal with it again. There are many of you that are so afraid of your mate or your parents or somebody at work or somebody at your church that if they were to speak negative things over you, contrary to the blessing of God, according to the Bible, that's a curse. You would allow this curse to come and you won't counter it because you don't want to offend somebody. And because of that, that is taking root on the inside of you and it's affecting you. You know, let me give you a testimony that this has been 20, 30 years ago. I had a man in our local church that I didn't even know this guy. I don't ever remember meeting him, but he knew me. And he had some kind of a problem. I can't remember what the doctors diagnosed it as, but he couldn't eat. He couldn't hold any food down and he just couldn't eat. And so he was dying from malnutrition. And he had to go into the hospital like every 6 weeks or something and be fed intravenously because he was wasting away. He literally could not survive and they couldn't keep any food on him. Nothing would work. And so anyway, this had happened a couple of times. And as he was in the hospital and they were trying to revive him, he was praying and asking God what the problem was. And the Lord spoke to him and said, if you will invite Andrew Womack over to your house, he will tell you what the problem is. So this guy contacted me, invited Jamie and me over to his house. We went over to his house. As I was entering his house, his mother-in-law was exiting the house, and I met her and said hi to her. And then I went in. This man told me about what was happening. He said, God told me you have my answer. And so here I am waiting on you to tell me why I can't seem to get healed. And I didn't have a clue. I didn't know. And I said, well, let's just pray. And so we stood and joined hands. And I mean, within 10 seconds of me starting to pray, I remembered his mother-in-law walking out the door. I saw her and the Lord spoke to me and says, the mother-in-law is the problem. And so I just stopped and I said, what's the situation with your mother-in-law? And boy, he rolled his eyes and he said, oh, it's a long story. But they had been in a cult before. They had been in the Way International. And they had done some stupid, stupid things that had cost them. And because of this, their mother-in-law was not a believer. And she thought this was another religious trip that they were on, trying to believe God for healing. And so she just thought it was a cult. And she was death. I mean, she was telling them, this is of the devil. You're going to die. You can't live through this. And she was speaking terrible things, not because she hated them. It's because she loved them and she had seen them fail in the past. And she was just speaking these negative things over me. And as they got to telling me the story, they said that, you know, their family will be fine. And then the mother-in-law comes over and the kids will get sick and all kinds of things. And so here's what I told them. I told them basically some of these same things, that this mother-in-law is speaking curse. Wet words have come against them. And I said, you wouldn't let me come into your house and say, you're going to die and you're a fool and how dare you believe this. I said, if I came into your house and said that, you would counter me because you know that that's wrong and you would stand against this. And he said, that's absolutely right. And I said, but you will allow your mother-in-law to do it because you feel obligated to get along with her and to make this relationship work, whatever. And they said, that's absolutely true. And I said, you aren't countering this. You wait until she's gone and then you try and reject what she said. I said, you're going to have to stand up to her and you're going to have to do it. You can do it in as much love as you can muster. You don't have to be mean, But you're going to have to sit there and say no in the name of Jesus and counter these curses and negative things that she's placed over you. The guy understood what I was talking about. We prayed, and I said, it's good to pray with me, but eventually you are going to have to take those words and counter them. And sure enough, within just a day or two, an opportunity arose. He countered it, and he rejected everything that she had spoken over him and all of the curses and things. And did you know he never had another problem? He was able to start eating food, and he had all, and everything worked, and he never had another problem with it. And this isn't an isolated incident. I've seen this happen with two other instances that if I had time, I could tell you right here. One person even had a separate phone line dedicated for the in-laws because they knew that they were going to be criticized. They knew that everything they said was going to be negative. And so they gave them, the in-laws, a special number, and they only answered it if they felt up to taking all of this verbal abuse. And otherwise, they used the other phone and they used it for normal things, but they isolated a phone line because they just couldn't take all the negative things that were said. And because of this, a person was physically dying. I told them basically the same thing. They made a stand and stood against this and condemned these words, and you know what? The problem was over. There are some of you that you have people at work, you have people at church, you have friends, relatives, other people, or it could be the news media is speaking all of these curses and negative things and you don't like it. You get discouraged when you hear people say it, but you don't take a stand against it. You need to stand up and every negative word that comes against you, condemn it. And if you'll do that, you can stop that curse. You could ask my wife. We drive down the road, and basically the way I get my news is to listen over radio because it's only a 2 or 3 minute news broadcast, and they can't say too much negative in that short a period of time. And if it's something really big, then I might go watch it on TV and get some details. But even during that brief period of time, they'll say things like it's flu season and they're predicting this to be the worst flu season that has ever been or whatever. And they'll start speaking things contrary to what God's Word says. God's Word says, by stripes I'm healed. And it doesn't say except during flu season. It has no exceptions. And you can ask my wife, when I hear something like that on the radio, I don't let it just go. I'll sit there and say, no, in the name of Jesus. There is no such thing as flu season for me. There is no time that the Word of God doesn't work. I just heard something on the radio. I was listening to the news this morning coming in, and I heard something about some type of sickness. Do you have this problem? If you're over 50, this is... And you know what? I go, no, in the name of Jesus. That isn't me. Thank you, Jesus, that by your stripes I'm healed. This is how I live. I condemn any negative thing that comes against what God has spoken over me. And because of it, you know what? I am blessed. And I'm seeing the blessing of God manifest. If you want the blessing of God's Word to manifest in your life, you're going to have to mix it with faith, speak it, and condemn any word that comes out against it. John chapter 14, verse 1. The very first thing that Jesus told his disciples, he says, let not your heart be troubled.
When I looked into his face, I saw his eyes flittering. And so I yelled at him and I says, you are not going to leave me.
Next thing I know, I'm down in emergency room at the stroke center in Harris Methodist in Fort Worth.
One third of Alan's brain had not received blood.
The MRI scan of the brain showed a massive stroke.
They told me he was paralyzed on the left side. They told me that he could not swallow. They told me he could not speak.
They were saying he's going to need a stomach tube to be fed the rest of his life.
We were not very optimistic about the outcome.
We had spent that time in Christian survival. We had spent that time in harnessing your emotions. And I was harnessing my emotions. I was completely under control. And that's what disturbed the doctors the most. They were not going to speak death over him, because his life was in the balance. And I knew the truth, and the truth was going to set him free. And I knew it. I knew it would set complete. It would set everything free.
Log on to awmi.net. Look to the left. Click on Healing Testimonies. And take a healing journey with Alan and Debbie Moore. Meet CBC graduate Leland Shores. He's changing lives in Uganda. Are you a world changer? Log on to charisbiblecollege.org, an affiliate of Andrew Womack Ministries. Change your world.
We'd like to point out Andrew's upcoming speaking schedule. Mark your calendars to come meet Andrew at one of these events and let the Word of God transform your life. He'll be in Colorado Springs, Colorado next week for the annual Summer Family Bible Conference, July 4th through the 8th. In Chicago, Illinois for a Gospel Truth Seminar, August 4th through the 6th. And in Tinley Park, Illinois, Sunday, August 7th. He'll also be in the New England area for a Gospel Truth Seminar, August 25th through the 27th. In Charlotte, North Carolina for the Freedom Christian Center Camp Meeting, September 11th through the 16th. And in Johnson City, Tennessee, September 17th and 18th. For more details on Andrew's next meeting in your area, call our helpline or visit our website at awmi.net.
That was easy.
Thought about taking your parents to Summer Family Bible Conference in Colorado Springs? It's easier than you think. Log on to www.awmi.net for more details.
Andrew's complete teaching titled, How to Receive God's Best, was recorded live at a recent Gospel Truth seminar. It's available on either CD or DVD. Or if you prefer, you can get the DVD as seen on TV. Each is available for a gift of any amount. Remember to specify CD, DVD, or DVD as seen on TV when you contact us. This series is also available for audio download absolutely free on our website. Go to awmi.net and click on Audio Teachings on the left-hand side of the page. The fifth audio teaching in today's series is available for a gift of any amount when you write or call. We encourage everyone to give, but if you're simply unable to afford it, Andrew and his partners will provide this fifth CD titled God's Word Equals God's Blessing, free of charge. We'd also like to remind you that we're offering Andrew's latest book titled Sharper Than a Two-Edged Sword for a gift of any amount. Contact us today to get your copy. You can use your credit card to order resources by telephone. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111. Helpline hours are Monday through Friday from 4:30 a.m. until 9:30 p.m. Mountain Time. If the lines are busy, you can visit our website where you can order ministry materials 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at awmi.net. To write us, use the address on your screen. We appreciate your generosity and hope to hear from you today.
Andrew would like to invite you to visit the website as he guides you through the second installment of the virtual tour. This time, come inside the future home of Charis Bible College. You can almost smell the new carpet.